about family. That was Gareth's job last week, was talk about family. And I got the stewardship. I say I got, that sounds like I've been lumped with it. I've been blessed with stewardship of time, which when we talk about the stewardship of time is one of my not very good things to do. Stewardship of my time, I'm not very good at it myself. So I've learned a lot from this. So, but first of all, I want to take you back 30 years. When I was 13 years old, and this was one of my favorite songs. Let's see if we can get it to play. It's not a security alert, it's all clean, it's okay. I was not allowed to have inappropriate songs in my bedroom. Certainly not, my mother says from the back. Yes, please, and hopefully it will play. Please play. My daughter's going to be completely embarrassed.
Waste of time.
Waste of time. Wait a minute.
It'll just take a little time.
Okay, we'll stop you there. We won't make you listen to it all. Although Nathan still wants to listen to it, look. Yeah, no, that's fine. I'm very aware that that was really fast for Wilson to translate. So, and it's basically time is ticking away, and it says tick, tick, ticking away. I can't even remember the rest of the lyrics. But it talks about managing time and how time is moving fast. You can imagine, or you could try to imagine, a 13-year-old girl in her bedroom and then bringing that to the front of the church and doing some dance to it. Back in the day, that's what we used to do. And my daughter is cringing in the corner. I can see her like, oh, please. So... did have a video, but I thought maybe I wouldn't embarrass myself with a video of me dancing. So, but anyway, Ecclesiastes 3, 1 to 3. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to uproot, a time to kill, and a time to heal, a time to tear down, and a time to build. There is a season for every activity under the heavens. Time, right back to the very, very beginning, was part of God's creation. But it wasn't the whole thing. It wasn't everything. It wasn't just about time. It was a limited part of his creation to accommodate the outworkings of his purposes for our universe. And kind of think of our universe as a little bit, now please hear this in the right context, it's like a rubbish bag. It's disposable. And the universe, God is, you know, and it says in 2 Peter 3, 10 to 12, I think it's up here. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. Now, it sounds a bit doom and gloom. You know, the heavens will melt and will be disposed of. The earth, as we know it, will not be anymore. But it is, it's like that rubbish bag. But what we've got to do is sort through, what are we prioritizing in our lives? What are those things that we're giving time to? But upon completion of creation, God concluded that everything was... Thank you. Good. I like a bit of participation. Please don't be like my students in my classroom that just sit there and stare at me and, okay? It gets a little bit, it's like, come on, we've got this. So, yeah, everything was good. So time is good, okay? Time is good. Spending time with people, spending time with God is good. God saw that time was good. But God lives, we live in the fast speed, you know, everything comes to an end. But God is time, is in the timelessness. He is in that timelessness. We live in that sphere of the flesh, okay? We live in that sphere of time, okay? We live in the sphere of time. God lives in timelessness. And he is the same yesterday, he is the same today, and he's the same forevermore. God stays the same. And the Bible has different concepts of time, okay? So, I don't know if anybody has watched My Big Fat Greek Wedding. I'm going into a bit of a Greek lesson now. That there's, you know, everything has a Greek meaning. So, chronological, okay? I can't speak Greek, just so you know. But yeah, so chronological is chronos. And chronos is about sequential time. It's linear. It follows a pattern. So we've got 24 hours in the day. How many of us wish there was more than 24 hours in a day? Yes, I do. But I actually, do you know what? I'm glad there isn't, because otherwise I'd fill my time. This is why this is a really good one for me too. So we have our clocks, we have our calendars, everywhere we go. Do you know, it's really funny. I was chatting with Christine actually a few weeks ago, and I love her thinking, she puts her phone down. That's right, isn't it? You do switch your phone off and you put it down. And I'm like, I want to be like Christine, be able to put my phone down and forget my calendars. But even last night, there's a reason why I have to have my phone by my bed. But last night, my son decided to ping me at midnight because he was at a concert enjoying himself, and thought he would send us a video of him enjoying it. And I was like, straight away I was alert because I thought something crazy was going on in another room. But actually, no, it was just my son at a concert and he wanted to share the experience with us. So he doesn't yet know that I wasn't impressed. But our phones are a constant reminder of time, of things going on. And I just love Christine's idea of just putting your phone away and just switching off. But sometimes that's easier said than done. But we live on that chronos time. Now, I don't know about you, but that whole time waits for no man. We've got to hurry up. We've got to get going. And I've got a classic story of Sunday mornings. You've got to be at a certain place at a certain time. So church is the place you've got to be. But you're leading worship, or Gareth is leading worship. I don't lead worship. You're leading worship or you're leading the service and you've got to get your teenager out of bed, okay? Or your teenagers. And those of you that have got teenagers probably will, you know, you'll empathize with me, that it can be really hard to get a teenager out of bed. It's like going to the dentist sometimes and having your teeth pulled. Okay, that's the way I could describe it. You go in once, you do the nice, you then go in again, and it's like, come on, 10 minutes has passed now, we've got to keep moving, and time again, you go in, and before you know it, you've got 20 minutes left, and they're still in bed. And you've got to turn up to church, where you think, with a smile on your face, and say good morning to everybody in a really cheery way, and really what you want to do is just go, because it's been 20 minutes and you've got to go to Costa because that's the only way you'll get out of bed, okay? Or the child will get out of bed. And yeah, so Naomi, I am talking about you. She knows it. And I didn't warn her about this either, so I will be in trouble. My Mother's Day may not be as a blessing as I thought. But yeah, so time flies. And I think what I've got the gist of, though, is that we need to probably take a little bit of a leaf out of the teenagers' books. Now, all parents are going, oh, Rachel, please don't say this. I'm saying it to myself, don't say it. But our teenagers appreciate just being in the moment. They like to take their time over things. As adults, we've got so used to being focused on what we've got to do, cook dinner, do the washing, do the ironing, because our teenagers are not going to do it. You know, go do lots of different things, go to work. It's always about the lists, the to-dos. But our teenagers actually, I feel, have got a grasp a little bit. I don't think they understand that that's what it is, but they understand the next Greek word, which is kairos. Now, kairos is an appointed time, okay? It's in that moment where you're not aware of what's going on. Time isn't an issue. But kairos is God's time. Kairos is about the right season and the right moment, the appointed time. Jesus came into this earth at the appointed time, in the kairos time, precisely the right time. Now, Madeleine Legendre, I can see it out right. Now, I apologize to a lot of you because I know it's very difficult to translate this. So I'm gonna do my best. I'm gonna read it out first and then I'll try and elaborate. So it says, kairos is that time which breaks through chronos with a shock of joy. That time we do not recognize while we're experiencing it, but only afterwards, because kairos has nothing to do with chronological time. When we're in a kairos moment, that is when we are at our most happiest, when our joy flows. In that moment where we're not aware of what's happening, what's going on. Whereas chronos, we're very much linear, we're thinking straight. But that kairos moment breaks out those, gets rid of the linear thinking and brings us into a place of freedom. So in kairos, we are completely sort of we're not self-conscious in it. We're not self-conscious. And we're far more real than we've ever been. So take the artist at work doing their paintings. You know, I love that painting over there. An artist at work is in kairos moment, not aware of time, just enjoying that moment. What about a child? We were talking about earlier about the toddlers. You know, child playing in the sand, building a sandcastle. So not aware of what's going on around them. They're just loving the fact, building a sandcastle, finding the shells, making a flag. The person in worship. Do you know what? I love watching Joshua worshiping this morning. I just love it. He's just there with his guitar. He hasn't got a guitar in his hand, but I just love it. Just love it. Because that's the future generation of our worship team. And it's been great because we've watched Benjamin, we've watched Tom, they're all coming up, and they've all come up through being really small to now like encouraging the next generation. There's something so powerful in that. But in the worship, they're in a Kairos moment. Now, I've got a turning testimony, but it's not quite about going on the streets. It's about how everything happened when I sacrificed and put God at the center of my time rather than focusing on what needed to be done. So when the turning happened, Gareth was like, we're going to every meeting. And I was like, that's great, yes. And I was also thinking, how's the cleaning gonna happen? How's the cooking gonna, when are we gonna cook? When are we gonna eat? I was also working full time. And I was like, okay. But I also was gonna be obedient. And I was like, no, we are. We're going as a family to every single meeting. Homework needed to be done as well. Everything. And I was fully aware of the to-do list. But I sacrificed the jobs that needed to be done. I sacrificed the time to be in God's presence, to be at the meetings every single night, because it was felt that it was the right thing to do, because that's what God was calling us to do as a church. And I can't explain it, but when the turning, the season of all the meetings came to an end, I was thinking, gosh, I'm going to have lots of washing to do. I'm going to have lots of things that I need to play catch up with. I can't explain it, but everything was done. Everything was done. It was like time just didn't exist, but yet all the jobs were done. And I know I'd done the jobs. I know that we were doing the jobs, but it also felt like in that moment, time just didn't seem to matter, and that God was carrying us through, and there wasn't the pressure, there wasn't the weight. When God's at the center of it all, everything seems to be easier, but yet we still don't seem to grasp the concept. We're still hooked on what it is that we've got to do. We're on the moment. But in Kairos, we are created to be co-creators with God. Okay, so when we're in that moment, we get to touch the wonder of creation, the wonder of heaven. In that moment, we get to be who we're fully made to be. So Kronos, for me, this is how I've kind of worked it out. Kronos is the quantity, but Kairos is the quality. I don't know about you, but I'm fed up with the quantity of stuff that I have going on in my life. And I want to have the quality of being so close to Jesus, so close to heaven, that I just get to be me, the real me, not the one that's running around pulling her hair out, dragging teenagers out of bed. You know, I love that, and I love my daughter to pieces. But I want to be the real me, that real one that just shines for Jesus and isn't tied down by the clock and the calendar. In Psalm 90, Moses tells us that our lives are short, but God is eternal. Now, Moses grew up in a really privileged life, okay? He grew up with a privileged life. But he refused to accept the Egyptians' worldview. His relationship with God was his saving. He had a secure relationship with God because he was eternal. And one of the things that I'm aware of is if we don't have a biblical view, if we have a naturalistic, worldly worldview, then our security is only in ourselves. It's only in who we are. It's that me, me, me. But what we need to do is have a biblical and personal relationship with Jesus Christ. For me, that's the critical element, is that we've got to have that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so often, Jesus can become the afterthought. Jesus becomes the afterthought. If there's anything from today that you take away, and that Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the reason that we are here. And if we are focusing on all the things that are going on around us, we lose sight of who God is. We really do. We need a personal relationship with Jesus. We need that personal relationship with him. And if you're struggling this morning and you're going, oh, I don't even know where I am with God right now. And there have been days where I've sometimes questioned, like, I've lost sight of who God is in this moment. I've lost sight. Where are you, God? And that's sometimes that I do, is I just stop. And then we do sozo ministry in the church. And one of the things I love about it says, ask Jesus where he is right now. In that moment, ask Jesus, where are you right now? Ask the Holy Spirit where he is right now. So we're just going to do that just quickly, because I think it's really good. When we're feeling really like disconnected with our time, because our time is like all consuming, I want us just to take a moment and just ask Jesus, where is he right now for you? So let's just do that. Yeah, Father, I just want to ask you right now, Lord, where are you for each one of us right now? Yeah, wherever you've seen Jesus at that moment, you know, I just said to him, where are you? And he's like, right here. You know, but God, it's really funny, because he will speak to you differently. You will see him. You might not feel that he's right close to you right now, but he can come and be so close. And at the end, we're going to have a time of ministry. But it's really easy when we're reading Ecclesiastes to assume that that time is all about Kairos time, Chronos time. It's linear. A time to be born and a time to die. But what do we do with the time in between? What do we do with that time in between? Now, it's really funny, because I was having this debate with God. It's a little bit like, well, we all know when we're born. And it was actually, no, we don't. We don't know when we were born. We know our birthdays. But actually, if you're anything to do like my children, they don't arrive on time. I know there's a 40 weeks, okay? So my son was 3 weeks early, and my daughter was 8 weeks early. They're eager beavers, my children. They love to just get going. But there are others that are late. So my nieces and nephews, one of them was late. I think maybe two of them were late. You know, so we don't actually know when we're going to be born. We just know that there's a time to be born. And we're just given that estimate. And we definitely don't know when we're going to die. We don't know when we're going to die. And when people say we have a limited time, we start to get a little bit anxious and panicky. And I know for me, when I've heard people say, oh, Jesus is going to come back and it's the end of the world as you know it. And then sometimes, as a kid, back in the 80s, you'd go to these meetings and you'd have the end time meetings, where Jesus is going to come back and you're going to, you know, you'd have listened to DC Talk, and then you'd like, this is the end times and doom and gloom and hellfire and brimstone. And you're like, oh, I'm going to go home now. And I'm really scared. You know, as a child in the 80s, you're like, gosh, I feel a little bit scared, a little bit scary now. And you get anxious. God isn't about anxiety. I have a student in my classroom. We've got all of them need timers to help them manage their time, apart from this one student. Bless him. The second the timer goes on, he goes bright red. It's like the kettle's about to explode. And he just gets so panicked because it's pressure, because time has become a pressure for him. And it's become so restricting that he can't cope. And we have a little stressometer in our classroom that you can gauge. We only go up to 5. Every time a timer comes on, he's up off the table, takes it off the 5, and he'll walk across the room and put it the other side of the room and go, I am off the chart. And it's like, okay, off you go into the dark den for a little bit. Take some time, it's okay. Timer doesn't apply to you. But for him, but that's how we can get. It's like we hear that time, we've got to have things done by a certain time. You've got to be this. You've got to do that. And we become so pressured that we lose sight of what's in front of us. We lose sight of what God's calling us to do. And we live in this strange sense of life takes forever when we're in crisis mode, when we're in suffering mode. Now, there might be some of you here that go, yeah, but Rachel, you've not experienced what we've experienced. But you haven't experienced what I've experienced either. We've all suffered or all experienced maybe a trauma. Maybe some of us haven't. But some of us have experienced traumas that we would much rather not repeat. And I, back in 2005, 4 or 5, I experienced 2 traumas within 6 months of each other. And I'm not going to go into detail. Don't need to go into detail. But when you're in that suffering moment, it feels like forever. And it goes on forever. And even though the actual whole situation has stopped, the repair work, the healing takes forever, or that's what it feels like. But then when you're waiting, when something, suddenly life ends and something of enjoyment is over, it's like, oh, time flies. It's like that eagerness, it's just over too quickly. And it's really interesting because obviously we know COVID exists and it's been around. And so watching people say around COVID that I'm going to stop doing what I've been doing and I'm going to do things differently. And it's been really interesting, and I've had to manage my reaction to people when they say this, because it could probably be a little bit, not offensive, but how I would interpret it. But people, so a friend of mine, she won't mind me saying, because I've actually challenged her on it, she has swapped her time of serving in the church to just using her time to visit all her friends and family, which is important. Visiting friends and family is important. But she's filled her time exactly the same, but she's just as busy, if not even more busier, because she's filled it with visiting lots of different people and enjoying life. I'm going to enjoy life, is what she says, because you just never know. And I'm like, okay, that's great, but where's Jesus in all of that? Where's your walk with him in all of that? Filling your time with fun stuff, that's great. She stopped serving in church because she's like, well, that took up to all my time, but she just swapped it out for meeting with other people, which again is fine, but where's the relationship with Jesus? Where's your time when you're in that kairos moment? And I'm very aware that I can just fill my time with stuff. Netflix is great for filling my time with stuff. Disney Plus is great for filling my time with stuff. We did a time management lesson in school the other day and worked out how much screen time we all have. I was in the top three with my students and my staff. I was like, oops. In fact, I was second. Screen time for me equates to around 11 hours a day. And that is work, that is phone, and that's watching TV. And I suddenly realized how much of my time I am wasting. One of my students had like 17 hours because he doesn't sleep and he watches basically through the night. And I was like, oh my gosh, I need sleep. But we suddenly realize how much time we spend on screens rather than spending time in God's presence. I've also made a conscious effort around using my Bible rather than my phone. Because it's so easy to just go, I'm just going to check my phone for a Bible verse. But actually, we need to know that this book is God-breathed, it's living. There's nothing wrong, I am just going to say, there's nothing wrong with using the Bible on your phone. But I think it's also important that you open the pages and you turn the pages of the Bible. You read the words that are in the book. Time, life is short. And my question to you is, have you ever felt like your chronological, that all this time, that chronos time is overshadowing your kairos time, your kairos moments? So we're going to move to Mary and Martha. Now, I love the story of Mary and Martha because it causes so much sort of battle within me. So I love it when something causes me to battle. It's one of my favorite, because my nan, bless her, she was called Mary, but she had a plaque in her house and it was said, be a Mary. And it was there in her kitchen. And I remember asking her, why is that in your kitchen? And why have we all got to be a Mary? Why have we got to be like you? So I was a little girl and I just asked the question. And she said to me, because it reminds me to slow down and spend time with Jesus. Because there's nothing more important than spending time with Jesus. So when I'm cooking, I cook with Jesus. And I was like, oh, okay. So, and then I remember sitting around the dining room table and having this story. Have we got the slide up for this one? Yeah. So as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed. Or indeed, only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Now, I was thinking about this and my sisters, and there are times, so we can be quite competitive in our family. There's three of us, three sisters, all vying for position, and at times, and we all get this. There's somebody that's doing everything. There's somebody that's just like really chilled out. And there's some that get what they want without even trying. And it's a real like competitiveness in our house. But it's also translated into my own home. So in our house, you've got Joel and myself. We are the competitive ones in our house. I've got two children, Joel and Naomi. I had to think of their names then. Gosh. So Joel and Naomi, Joel and I, we're very competitive. If we're going to do a game, we're going to do a race, we're in it to win it. And, you know, we will win. And whereas Naomi and Gareth, you all know Gareth, they are so laid back, it's unbelievable. Like, couldn't care less about competing, couldn't care less about winning. Naomi has a little edge when she wants to. But most of the time, she's just like her dad, like, yeah, I'm not in this because there's just no way with you two. And I kind of see a little bit of this in Mary and Martha. Martha is the one as like, I want to prove that I've got, you know, I'm going to prove that I can do this. And I kind of think around Mary and Martha on a bike ride. And you, please go with me on this. This isn't in the Bible. This is just my brain, okay, and how I see things. Martha is on the bike ride. Mary's on the bike ride. You've got Martha's like, ready. Right, we're going to get from A to B, and I'm going to do it in the fastest time I possibly can. I'm going to get there. I'm going to win. Forget everything else. That's what I'm doing. Whereas Mary, it's like, ready, steady, go. And it's like, Martha's gone. And Mary's just like, yep. Oh, look at the scenery. Just enjoying everything around her. Oh, look at the ducks. Look at the birds. And Martha's like, this isn't even competition. Isn't even competition. There's nothing wrong with competition, okay? But there is something wrong when we don't stop and sit at the feet of Jesus. When we completely eliminate him from our time. It's so easy. I find it so easy to forget where I've been, where I've come from, and forget that through it all, Jesus has done it. I'm so good at looking at me and going, me, 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 I did that. Oh, I did this, I did that. I've worked on this, I've worked on that. I shouldn't be in the job I'm in. If you looked at it on paper, I shouldn't be. If I was to reapply for my job today, I wouldn't get it. That's the honest truth. I don't have a degree. I've worked up. I didn't go to university. And today, if I was to apply for the job, and there's quite a few of my jobs, similar jobs to mine on our website at the moment, and I just wouldn't get them. Because it says, but because God's favor, and God had worked in my life, and has the favor of God was on my life, so I am in the job I am in today. And I thank God for my job every single day. And there are days when I think I need to leave. But God keeps reminding me that he's placed me in this role for a reason. But it's so easy to forget that he did it. So easy, because we just get caught up in time, in the things that are chronos time, of all the jobs, the calendars, the things to do. But my challenge to you guys today is to not forget who Jesus is in your day, in your workspace. We have to steward our time well. Because as God said, life is short. He did say us. It is nice of him to remind us that life is short. And we don't know the time. We don't know the hour. But what we do know is that we can have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. We can spend time with him. And as believers, we have the comfort of knowing that God, though timeless and eternal, is in time with us right now. He's with us right now. He's not unreachable. He's not inaccessible. He's right here with us. And because he's here in this moment, right now, he can respond to our needs and our prayers. So I'm going to ask us to stand. And Benjamin, would you come and play for us? Let's stand. Jesus.